Hi there, it's Wendy Snyder sitting in for John Williams today. I'll be here tomorrow and Friday as well. And it's no secret, I love watching television, and I love talking to Alexander Zalvin, managing editor over at Decider.com. Hi, Alex, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Wendy?
I'm doing wonderfully. I want to briefly touch on this gloom and doom movie that I watched on Netflix that everyone is talking about, and I still can't remember the name of it. What did I watch?
Leave the World Behind.
All right. Did you see it?
I did. As you said, it's controversial is probably the wrong word, but divisive is probably the best word. Everybody I've talked to has had a different take on this movie. If you haven't checked it out, it's on Netflix now. It's been number one forever since it posted. Julia Roberts is in it. Ethan Hawke is in it. Mahershala Ali, Myla Howard is in it. And it's about a couple that gets an Airbnb with their kids when the world starts to end. The guy who owns the house and his daughter show up at the door and say, hey, can we just kind of stay here for a little bit because things are going bad in the city? Things get steadily worse. There's a lot of tension. There's some weirdness that happens.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. It is from Sam Esmail, who wrote and directed Mr. Robot, one of my absolute favorite shows. But I totally get. I had a whole argument with my parents the other day who said, this movie makes no sense and we don't like it. So had a lot of discussion.
I'll tell you, I was entertained and shocked, and it was thrilling. The acting is great. Kevin Bacon's really good in it. It wasn't the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life, but I think everybody should watch it. It was interesting, and I believe some of this stuff could totally happen.
Yeah, he bases a lot of his stuff, Sam Esmail, on real things and then kind of extrapolates from there. And to make it even more realistic, not to make it too scary for people, but this was produced through Higher Ground, which is the production company the Obamas run, Barack and Michelle Obama. And reportedly, they didn't have too much to do with the movie other than reading the scripts and telling Sam Esmail, hey, you can push this even further. Make this even closer to reality. There's some stuff that I won't spoil that happens late in the movie that apparently they gave some input on that makes it kind of scarily real in a certain way. So knowing that, you might even be more freaked out if you haven't checked it out. But like you said, at the same time, it's very entertaining, even as it's freaky.
Yeah, and I honestly didn't know that Barack and Michelle Obama were the producers until the name popped up on the screen as it was starting, and I'm like, wait a minute, I got to rewind. What? I didn't know that at all. It really doesn't make any difference.
They played two of the deer, Wendy. That's what their role was in the movie.
I love it. All right, so that's something I think you should watch. It's an eye opener, and it's thrilling. I'll tell you that it really is. A lot of people are upset about the ending. I'm fine with it.
I really liked it. Again, I won't for spoiler reasons into it. It is something. One thing that I would encourage anybody who watches this movie and goes, the ending doesn't make any sense. None of these things make any sense. Think about it for the direction of, actually, it does make sense, because I think everything follows very concretely from the things that happened before, including the end of the movie.
Yeah, it makes sense.
At the same time, I don't blame anybody for getting frustrated at the same time.
Exactly. All right, there's another movie that everyone is talking about, Maestro. Bradley Cooper.
Yes. Yeah, this had a limited theatrical run, and it is on Netflix as of today. It is directed by and stars Bradley Cooper as Leonard Bernstein. So it's a very typical biopic going over the life of the composer. It skips over a lot of things, but it has an all-star cast. You've got Carey Mulligan, who's getting a lot of early Oscar buzz, Matt Bomer, Sarah Silverman, Maya Hawke, Josh Hamilton. So great cast there. My reviewer over at Decider, Anna Menta, was a little mixed on it, felt there were some good performances, but it was not the best biopic of all time. But if you have any interest in the composer and you like Bradley Cooper, it might be worth checking out tonight.
So I didn't realize he directed it as well, and it is a small theatrical release. Is that so it could be up for an Oscar award? Is that how it works?
Exactly. I don't remember what the exact rules are right now, but it's at least 2 to 3 weeks in a theater in either New York or L.A. it needs to play in order to be viable for Oscars. So Netflix doesn't care about that. They just want your streaming numbers. But they, at the same time, also want the Oscars, so they play the game, put it in a small amount of theaters, just enough to get the Oscar consideration, and then it's on to streaming.
All right, got it. And Percy Jackson and the Olympians. I did not see the first Percy Jackson movie, or are there? This is a series, though, right?
Yeah, so it's actually based on a book series by a guy named Rick Riordan. It's kind of like Harry Potter, except for the Greek gods, if you don't have, you know, any relationship with it. But similar to Harry Potter, this is a diehard fan base who absolutely love the books. There's multiple series, multiple books in the series, but they absolutely hated the two movies that were made previously. They changed mostly everything from the books. They didn't really listen to fans. This is Rick Riordan coming back to the property and working with people to do an incredibly faithful adaptation. I've seen the first couple of episodes. The first two are up on Disney Plus right now. I'm not a huge fan of the books, to be honest, but I found it to be a perfectly enjoyable all-ages adventure story. It's very well filmed. The effects are good. The cast is great. They got amazing people to play the Greek gods throughout. You got Megan Mullally.
Oh,
you got Jason Mantzoukas, who's very funny at Dionysus. Lin-Manuel Miranda is in it. Mm. And then in one of his very last, I think actually his last role, Lance Reddick plays Zeus on the series. So that should be interesting to see as well.
All right, I'm a little confused here. There's a new sci-fi epic that is, it used to be a Star Wars script. What's going on with this?
Yeah, so Zack Snyder, the guy who's behind a lot of the DC movies like Justice League and Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, among other things, he apparently wrote and pitched a Star Wars movie years ago. They ended up not going forward with it, but said, okay, you can keep the script. So he shook it up and changed it a little bit. To be fair, I have not seen the movie, so I don't know how much, but made it into his own quote-unquote original sci-fi property. And now it's coming out as a movie on Netflix on December 21st, so tomorrow. It's called Rebel Moon Part 1, A Child of Fire. And then there's going to be a Rebel Moon Part 2 that's coming out on Netflix next year. So it is ballooned from a Star Wars script into something that I believe is 2.5 hours long in each part. He is threatening that he has a director's cut that's even longer than that and R-rated. So there's a lot of Rebel Moon coming out. On the other hand, though, critics who have seen it have kind of hate it and savaged it a little bit. So it may have the director's usual visual flair. You'll definitely be able to recognize some Star Wars stuff just based on the trailer. It looks like a bunch of stormtroopers wearing different outfits and lightsabers that don't exactly look like lightsabers. So it might be kind of fun in terms of a spot the difference type thing at the very least.
Interesting. All right. What's going on with Reacher? I have not seen it. I don't know anything about it. I have friends who swear by this. What is Reacher?
Yeah, so this is a show on Prime Video. It is not in the middle. I think it is in the middle of the second season. Yes, there's still a couple of episodes to go. This is basically like a mystery action series based on the books by Lee Child. There was a movie that starred Tom Cruise, which was wild because one of the biggest things about Reacher is literally that he's an enormous guy. He has huge hands, big arms, is incredibly tall. So, of course, they cast Tom Cruise in the role. Similar to the Percy Jackson we were talking about earlier, book fans of Jack Reacher books were upset. They ended up catching this guy named Alan Ritchin, who is the largest man I've ever seen in my life. And now he stars in this Prime Video series, which is a ton of fun. So much so, I believe it's already been picked up for a third season because it's been one of Prime Video's biggest hits.
Interesting. All right. I will look into Reacher. Yeah, I have a friend who keeps posting on Facebook about it, and it's like, I've never even heard of it. So, all right. I am absolutely loving the series Fargo. I want to throw it out there because if you've seen the movie, it really has nothing to do with the movie. But the current, and every season is like a new story. The one that is currently going on, I don't know what season we're on. It is so incredibly good. Oh, did we lose Alex? Oh, okay. I got to go to another line. All right. There you are, Alex. Sorry, I don't know what happened.
Hello, sorry about that. No, no problem. Phones are weird sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
Talking about Reacher and not knowing about it, they cut me off, the government.
Barack Obama was trying to help them or help you stay on the line, but, you know, they got through. So I'm talking about Fargo. I don't recall what season we're on. I think 5. It has kind of nothing to do with the movie. Each season is a new story, and this current one is exciting.
Yeah, it's fans of the show in particular are calling it a return to form. It's currently running now on FX, and then it's streaming the next day on Hulu. It stars a bunch of folks, including Jon Hamm and Juno Temple. Jennifer Jason Leigh is in it. Joe Keery for her fans, for things. And as usual, it's a twisty crime saga with a fair amount of darkness on it. But like you said, it's not the plot of the movie. That said, Noah Hawley, who created the series and writes a good ton of it, said he feels like this is the closest spiritual successor he's done to the movie thus far. So you don't have to watch the previous four seasons. You could jump right in with this one and be good to go.
Although if you jump in to see this one, you'll go back and watch the other ones. Chris Rock was fantastic a couple seasons ago. And I don't know what's up with Jennifer Jason Leigh, but she's got a weird lock jaw, weird accent going on in this episode, this season.
Yeah. That's always kind of been her thing, I think.
I love her. She's great. Yeah. She's a great actress. And it's just really, really good. Jon Hamm, I was surprised to see him show up in this. He's everywhere lately, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a little bit of a fallow period, I think, after the end of Mad Men, where he was sort of figuring his career out, and not to get too into gossip, certainly figuring out a lot of personal stuff as well that he was going through. But good for him. He seems to have gotten his career on track. He has this. He has a new Apple TV Plus show that's coming up as well. So, and he was on the morning show. So they've certainly got him in the stable there. It's great to see. He's a great actor. He's very funny, and I love watching him on the screen.
Yeah, he is good at whatever it is he's in. I love him on the morning show. He's just really great. Home Alone 3. There's a trailer that's out there. It's not for reals, is it?
No, unfortunately. This is a fake made by a YouTube channel. They titled it Home Alone 3, Kevin's Revenge. And they did some relatively convincing AI, CGI tweaking to make it look like Macaulay Culkin was in it, Catherine O'Hara is back. It's fake. It's not a real movie. It doesn't exist.
Darn.
I will mention on a weird point, I don't think a lot of people know this, there was a Home Alone 3 that came out in 1997. And then beyond that, there's been three additional Home Alones.
What?
Including one that came out. I know, right? Home Alone 4, Home Alone the Holiday Heist, and Home Sweet Home Alone, which was on Disney Plus just 2 years ago. So there's been a lot of movement to the franchise, I guess, and continued interest in Home Alone.
Wow. I thought there was a Home Alone 3, but I didn't know that there were other ones after that. That's nuts.
Well, they're all not very good, so you don't need to check them out or anything.
Someone has, 708 has said Magic City, it's only two season, excellent show. Set in 1959 in Miami. Jeffrey Dean Morgan is in it. I'm a big fan of his from The Walking Dead. Is this a spinoff?
No, it's not. It's a prequel, maybe, because it came out much earlier than his time there. It is actually, I believe, on Peacock now. You can watch all two seasons. So if you want to check it out, it comes from Mitch Glazer, right? Like your writer said, right? Person who wrote in said Jeffrey Dean Morgan is on it. Olga Kurylenko, I never know how to pronounce her name, but she was in Black Widow and a couple of other things. So you can check it out there, or I believe you can check it out on Stars if you have a subscription as well.
Yeah, I've been paying for Stars, and I don't think I've used that for a long time. People out there, you should go look at your cable or DirecTV or whatever it is you have, and pay attention to what you've been paying for years that you never used, because perhaps you could get a better deal. And is there, we may need to talk to you sometime about cutting the cord. Everybody talks about that. There are definitely ways you can save money. YouTube TV was suggested to me. Is that something you're familiar with?
Yeah, YouTube TV is a pretty good deal. You can also do some stuff through Hulu and live TV. That's certainly the preferred method I've seen from a bunch of people, particularly if you already have a Hulu subscription. It's pretty easy to extend that. There is another service that I'm blagging up the babe of, but one other suggestion that I'd have for anybody who's thinking of cutting the cord, there are now more than ever more AVOD services, which are ad-supported, video on demand and other things. So things like Pluto or Tubi, where you have to watch a couple of ads, but also have sometimes better movies and more shows than, say, Netflix or Disney Plus or something like that. So you're not going to be lacking for things to watch just because you cut cable and cut the cord.
All right. That's good to know. And finally, John Cryer, I like him a lot. He has a new sitcom coming out.
This is a weird one that kind of snuck up on me. There is a show called Extended Family. It's on NBC. It stars, as you mentioned, John Cryer, Abigail Spencer, who's been bopping around for a bit and is great, Donald Faison from Scrubs. You would think, oh, this is like a primo sitcom. Instead, it's premiering Saturday, December 23rd at 8 p.m. on NBC with the first episode. And right after it, they're going to be airing a special holiday episode of Night Court. So just from a TV perspective, I don't know what the strategy there is. The Saturday before Christmas, putting up two new comedy episodes on a Saturday night when they never air that. But if you're around and you're hanging out with your family, if you know they're in for the weekend and they're looking for something to do, maybe you can check this out. And then it'll go to its regular time slot, which is Tuesdays at 8:30 starting January 2nd.
And Night Court, it's like, is Marky Post the only one alive? I guess John Larroquette is still alive. Are there...
John Larroquette is the star of it. It is, John Larroquette is back in his role on Night Court. Melissa Rauch plays, oh my gosh, Harry, I'm blanking on his last name, but the guy who...
Anderson.
Harry Anderson. She plays his daughter. So it's goofy, it's silly, it's very much a classic sitcom. And if you haven't checked it out, it's also one of the biggest recent hits on broadcast TV.
Really?
It's doing very well, and NBC is going to be running, I think, with this new Night Court for a very long time.
Interesting. And Frasier came back. How's that doing?
All right. I think it didn't quite make the cultural impact they wanted it to, and nothing against my friends at Paramount Plus, but I think I would blame that a little bit on it not doing what Night Court did. And a lot of folks have said, and I think this is true, you put Frasier out on TV. You know, when it's Paramount Plus, you put it out on CBS and play it there. That's where people want to watch Frasier sequel show that apparently is actually not bad. It follows up on it. It's maybe not as good as the original, but it's still fun. And, you know, Kelsey Grammer knows what he's doing on TV.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you don't have Paramount Plus, you're just not going to be able to watch it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I have to sit down and write a little list of all the apps or whatever that I have, because mm-hmm. there's something. I wanted to see Pete Davidson's show, Bupkis, so I got Peacock. I think that's what it is. Yeah. I love that show so much. I love him. I know, you know, mm-hmm. people either love him or hate him, but I love Pete Davidson, and it's a pretty funny show. And Joe Pesci is wonderful in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's weird, too. It's weirder than you'd expect from the show. It feels very in line with an FX show for me, sort of like a slightly serious, slightly weird comedy show.
Yeah.
Definitely worth checking out, though.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I really should not watch as much TV as I do, but I love it, and I love going to Decider.com. Alexander Zalbin is the managing editor. Totally appreciate you coming on. Have a great, great holiday.
You too. Thanks so much.